You're listening to Source Daily. Join us Monday through Friday to stay up to date on what's happening in North Central Ohio. We'll be sharing a closer look at one of our top stories, along with other news, local history, memorials, answers to your questions, and more. To celebrate our 10-year anniversary, we're taking a look back at some of the biggest stories and our favorite memories. Today, we're going back in time to 2020. Before we begin, we'd like to thank our friends and sponsors at the Richland County Foundation. The Richland County Foundation aims to improve and enhance the quality of life in Richland County through strategic philanthropy and community leadership. Learn more about how they are opening doors to a stronger Richland County by visiting richlandcountyfoundation.org. Now our feature story. Richland Source is grateful to be celebrating 10 years of local reporting across North Central Ohio. While other newspapers in Ohio and across the nation have closed their doors during this time, we've embraced the digital era without compromising on quality journalism. If having a trusted, independent news source in your community is important to you, please visit richlandsource.com/members to become a member and support our work. Now, let's head back to our eighth year, 2020.
Hi, everyone. Audrey Longstreth here with Grace McCormick. We are excited to bring you another Source 10-year celebration episode. And in this episode, we get to talk about what was happening locally and globally in the year 2020. But before we do that, maybe we should introduce ourselves. So, Grace, who are you? What do you do here? And what was the most exciting thing for you personally in 2020?
I'm Grace McCormick. I'm the business reporter here. I've been here for 8 or 9 months, so I wasn't on staff yet in 2020. I was in my freshman and sophomore year of college at Ball State University. And one exciting thing that happened to me in 2020 pre-COVID was winning the state tournament with my team. So that was fun. Audrey, what do you do here? What's one of your good memories from 2020?
Yeah. So my name is Audrey Longstreth. I have been with the Source for going on 5 years this summer. My official title is the Director of Client Coaching and Strategy. And so I'm not a reporter. I am on the other side of the business and work in sales and marketing, which is cool because we get to work with businesses who are trying to tell their stories to help grow their businesses, but feel overwhelmed by marketing a lot of times. And so we get to help kind of uncomplicate that for them, doing ad campaigns, building websites, that kind of stuff, so that they can focus on what they want to do, which is makes the days really fun and interesting. And I get to learn a lot of different things about businesses. But my highlight from 2020 is I actually had my first daughter the weekend that everything shut down in the state. So like the world was on fire for everyone, but like my husband and I were in our house just trying to figure out like how to keep this tiny human alive and really had no clue what was happening in multiple ways. So it was 2020 was an extra exciting year for us. It was a good year. And I think we figured out she's 3 now. So, you know, she's like,
you kept her alive.
We kept everyone alive in 2020, which is great.
Good.
So yeah. So obviously, there's the obvious of what happened in 2020 with COVID being a thing that finally hit Ohio. I had my daughter the weekend it all shut down. So the weekend of like March 20th was when the governor officially started the state lockdown. And it's really weird to think back to all of that. So you were in college, right?
Yes, yeah.
But you were in Indiana, you weren't in Ohio.
Right.
So do you remember, like, what was it like being on lockdown? As a college student, did you have to leave campus and all that, or did you stay?
I did. So because I was a freshman, I was living in the dorms. I remember the World Health Organization declared it a pandemic like March 11th, and then 2 days later, Ball State said, we're doing only online classes. I was working at an on-campus deli, so I told my parents, like, hey, like, they're expecting me at work. I'm still going to go there, which I did for, like, a little bit. But then, of course, I think 3 days later, I was like, okay, it's time to pack up my stuff. And then I went back home.
Yeah.
So
it was interesting, I was on maternity leave, all this stuff is going on, and no one really, like, I think you could basically turn on any device and see what was happening. Like, you know, just information about COVID, and it always mm-hmm. seemed to change. And so, you know, when we were looking at 2020 from the source perspective, it was kind of cool to look back at how we chose to cover it, because we didn't want to just talk about the virus. Mm-hmm. We didn't really find a ton of content about COVID other than, like, we covered, you know, the governor's press releases, and we did our part in helping get information out. Mm-hmm. But I think what was most interesting as we kind of looked back in the 2020 archives is how the newsroom and the team came together to really look at how COVID, like, the impacts of COVID on the local level.
Right.
So, like, the conversations, the coronavirus conversations was, like, a kind of just an interesting way to look at, have, like, kind of bring people together, you mm-hmm. know, right? And have these yeah. conversations about, like, no one knows what the heck is happening right now. But let's talk about how COVID is impacting, like, all these different spheres of our lives, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was really interesting looking back at the Coronavirus Conversations YouTube page, which you can still go online and watch. So it was a lot of Zoom conversations. I think Jay Allred, our publisher, was in about all of them. But our team was talking to banking, people in fitness, government officials. And I think we even did one from a newsroom perspective of what it's like to report, like, from our bedrooms, like, on stuff, and, like, it just all the meetings and ever-changing
yeah.
things. So,
yeah, I think the one that I liked as well is we actually, there was a panel with Doc Stelly and the Richland Grow Op. Like, I remember Walt Bonham was on it, and I think Karina Gottel from the IdeaWorks Kitchen talking about, like, one of the coronavirus conversations was around, like, cooking. And like things like that. And I appreciated that, you know, we were looking at, you know, not just the obvious of how it's impacting schools and, you know, business, which were important conversations, and we certainly had those, but, like, also just life in general mm-hmm. and, you know, tips on how people could continue to rally and support each other. And that yeah. was cool. And then there was the, you know, the opportunity, we actually use the open source platform where our readers get to ask us questions or send us story ideas. And so we put it out asking for people to nominate daily heroes. And so we got a ton of response back on that. And, you know, it's those moments where it's like, feels kind of like the world's on fire. But then, you know, when you get these nominations in and you hear people talking about they're seeing other people step up or mm-hmm. do really cool things in times like this. Like, it just makes you, like, it's one of those moments that makes you proud to be a human.
Yeah.
You know? What were some of the Daily Hero ones that stood out to you?
Yeah, I was looking back at, I think we did multiple wrap-up stories in 2020 of, like, hey, remember the good times, which was helpful, but there's a picture on our website still of, like, a little girl in a princess dress. I don't know how many friends she had, but she had, like, a Zoom tea party,
yes.
which was sweet. So it, like, it goes from, like, here's how we're staying connected with our families all the way to, like, I know nurses and people who are in elder care facilities that are putting their lives on the line. So it was just, like, the Daily Hero series was really interesting because it could be anything from my neighbor helped me pick up groceries to this person is helping save lives, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah. The 8-year-old princess tea party. I remember that story as well. You know, it's in some ways it's kind of sad. Like, man, it really sucks that that's something they had to experience. But how cool that, you know, 8-year-olds are like, I miss my friends. Let's all put on our princess dresses and have a virtual tea party. And just, like, the resiliency that you
yeah.
see in stories like that. And I remember reading one about a mom and a daughter. You know, the mom, I think, was like 80 something and in a nursing home, and they'd never missed a day of seeing each other. And, you know, the faithfulness of the daughter to, she was a, you know, someone who was still working because I think she worked for the post office, and, you know, she would still come every day sit outside her mom's window. And one of the things that talked about in the story was on her mom's birthday, they had a beer together and like a photo of, you know, them on each side of the window with their respective beers, celebrating her mom. And yeah, again, it's like that mixed emotion of like, it's hard to remember that stuff, but it's cool to see, you know, to see all the small ways that people were able to get creative, like the hugging doors. And, you know, I think one of the Daily Hero stories also talked about, you know, a little girl in Ashland who donated her Easter money to the Kroc Center to help with food and that kind of stuff. Like, I just love seeing the creativity that came out, especially in those early months of the pandemic.
And I liked, looking back, we're in the midst of graduation season right now as we're recording this, but looking back at quote-unquote graduation photos, because ceremonies really didn't happen. I mean, there were drive-thrus, there were virtual ones, but I did like the photos of people just like holding their caps out of their car windows and stuff like that. I thought I would hate to be a high schooler during that time, but it's nice just to still see people smiling.
Yeah, I remember we pivoted really fast on that too. We started in 2020. I think we kept it in 2021 as well, as actually doing like senior spotlights. Because normally, you know, we would go and take pictures, you know, post those all on our platforms for people to celebrate graduations and proms. And so since we couldn't do that in 2020, we did senior spotlights where people could submit little, you know, congrats blurbs for all the graduates and stuff like that. So it was a lot of pivoting and moving quickly. But, you know, a lot of other cool things happened in COVID. Like, business didn't stop in COVID. You were, you know, as the business reporter, I know when we were going through the stories, you pointed out, like, there was actually a surprising amount of businesses that opened in 2020 and are still open and thriving still now. Do you remember, like, what some of those were that you found?
Yeah. Tito's in Lexington opened, as did Operation Fandom and Blackbird Records. I believe they're based out of Worcester, but they moved in on 4th Street. And the Field Market became Third Cup Tea under the ownership of Braxton Daniels that year. So it's interesting to, there were a few businesses. I think The Chill opened in Shelby, and unfortunately they're not operating anymore. So I'm sure there were businesses that opened that year and then had to close, but there are definitely some that just defied all odds. And opening a restaurant during the pandemic, I can't imagine how much resilience that would take.
Yeah, I mean, the rules just kept changing on everyone. Yeah. So, you know, it's cool to see business owners who took that leap in 2020 still moved forward with opening and, you know, have successful businesses still today. And I know in, you know, one of the viral stories from that year too, from Mount Vernon, was they got their first standalone Starbucks, which is, you know, exciting for them. And yeah, it's exciting to see what business owners were able to do in that year. But COVID wasn't the only thing that happened in 2020. There were a couple other big storylines that came out of that year as well.
Yeah, for sure. I do want to note that as we kind of stopped talking about our senior spotlights and everything, but the Madison girls soccer team won the Division II state championships that year. So that was a rare gem in sports coverage, because a lot of that had to be canceled as well. But the Madison girls beat Granville 2-1. So there's a big picture of that whole team smiling, and they were probably had to wear masks on the bus ride home and everything. But that was another good story.
Yeah, a lot had to be canceled that year. So anytime like when sports were able to happen and, you know, still be able to, like, they may not have gotten to experience graduation and things like that, but some of those seasons were able to still happen that year.
Yeah. And a lot of high schoolers, too, I noticed were involved in organizing protests in honor of George Floyd. Mm-hmm. So racial relations took up a big part of our coverage that year as well. There was Black Lives Matter protests in downtown Mansfield. The 419 barbershop owner came to us to start shop talk. So, Audrey, I know that you remember Shop Talk a little better than I do because you were here. But do you want to talk about Shop Talk at all?
Yeah, Shop Talk was a cool thing because, you know, like you said, like Damien came to us and it was, you know, the George Floyd murder had happened and everything. And instead of, and again, it's just one of those things where it's like instead of just talking about what's happening, it was this opportunity for us to say, well, let's foster conversations. And so that's what they did. Like, we partnered with DRM and Mankind Murals and literally put people in a room socially distanced at the barbershop. Like, everyone was sitting in barber chairs and had had conversation about really hard topics, like bringing people mm-hmm. who are from different stages of life, different experiences, different opinions, all that, like purposefully putting people in a room together who don't see life necessarily in the same lens. Mm-hmm. Kind of feels like we were building a powder keg, but it just shows you what can happen when intentional conversations are had, when you lean into curiosity, you actually turn on your ears and listen to responses, and you're willing to sit in the room and listen to hard things, right? So yeah. There's like this whole series that is still on our site. You can go back, you can watch the videos. There's, you know, articles about what came out of those conversations. And it's just one of those things, like, I don't think any world problems were solved, you know, there. But I think relationships were formed, mm-hmm. You know, perspectives are broadened. And obviously race issues, like, none of these things, they're all still happening, right?
Yeah.
But again, it's one of those things, like, when I think about working for The Source, it's those moments that make me really proud to be an employee here. Because we want to lean into those conversations. I love that a business owner can approach our publisher and say, hey, I got this idea. Mm-hmm. What do you think if we take this really hot button topic and localize it to talk about what is race and inequality and all this? What does this look like in our community? Mm-hmm. And what if we film it and have people be really vulnerable and share openly, and then we're going to write about it? And like, I just love that was a thing that could even happen, and our response being like, yeah, mm-hmm. we're all in for this. Like, we're totally here for this. So that's what, to me, like, reporting and being involved in our community looks like, is like, we want to tell those stories and we want to be actively involved in creating conversations around the things that are happening, not just saying, this is what's happening,
yeah,
right?
Like, definitely.
It's also talking about having greater conversations around these things and helping facilitate that, not by guiding the conversation, but, like, just by making space for it, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's good reporting, is when good conversations come out of talking about things.
Yeah, the way you just described honest and broadening conversations reminded me of Complicating the Narrative, which a lot of our readers probably know from our political coverage. So we try to get politicians and really everyone away from those stump speeches and ask them how they got to become the person that they are, why they believe what they believe. Mm-hmm. And that came in really handy when there was a Make America Great Again rally in Mansfield. So our solutions and engagement editor, Brittany Schock, went to this MAGA rally and she complicated the narrative there. Like, she mm-hmm. was asking them, like, why do you believe that Trump should be president? Like, what is... And so that was just an interesting story to read for sure, because we're all, like, we all share fundamental values as Americans. Mm-hmm. And so especially in the political realm, that's really important to come back to. And it's, I forget who invented complicating the narrative. So I wish that I remembered that, but we've been practicing that at Richland Source for a while, just to, like, make our coverage different, which, yeah.
So do you, like, I mean, we're not talking about 2020 in this moment because you obviously weren't here in 2020, but, like, as a reporter, how does that change your approach? Like, so when you cover things like this, right? Or just any story, really, but, like, how does that change your job, like, asking those types of questions? And what does that... I'm not a reporter, so I do ads and build websites and stuff. So what is complicating the narrative? Like, what do you think that adds to the type of coverage we can do?
I definitely think that from a human perspective, it makes people feel more well-rounded. Like, they're beyond just their political goals or their job. Like, they all had experiences that got them to where they are. Mm. And it is really helpful, like, not approaching people from a judgment lens. Like, obviously, one of our main goals in journalism is to get down to the truth, but we also are able to form relationships better through complicating the narrative, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, when we bring people in for those interviews, they remember them. Like, they're not going to remember every speech or every city that they went to, but they do remember, like, oh, like, Richland Source, I remember complicating the narrative with them. So,
yeah, that's cool. Yeah, so, I mean, you hit on the MAGA rally, obviously, so that was another big moment of 2020 is we had a presidential election.
Yeah.
And, you know, we do a lot of political coverage on the local level, you know, and so Brittany's ability to show up to a rally, you know, we didn't cover Trump's, you know, or like the presidential election, right?
Right.
Like, we weren't putting out regular content around the presidential politics, but when opportunities arose to, like, take it to the local level, you know, like, we want to show up for those moments. And so Brittany showing up and being able to bring those types of questions and start those conversations about this thing that's happening nationally, yeah, it's cool to see those types of things occur.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, 2020, gosh, I think everyone remembers it mainly for COVID, but when we think about the whole year and everything going on, like, there were some big things that happened that year for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it was refreshing too. I know when we got assigned this year, like, both of us were like, worst year ever. But it was refreshing to see how we flipped the switch on some stuff and tried to bring people together via Zoom and those conversations that we had and some of the good news that came out of it as well.
Yeah. You know, and it's fun. Like, obviously, the Richland County Foundation and the Chamber, like, there were grants that were able to be created. And again, it's just going back to, like, being able to report on, like, what businesses were able to do. Like, it was a year of getting to report on people thinking creatively and coming up with really cool solutions. And I think, you know, when we fast forward to now 2023, I think that, like, it was a hard year. You know, I think all of us would agree the last several years have been difficult. But, like, man, what have we learned from, you know, from the last several years that all started in 2020 of just, like, if I think about it, it's like I learned to be a lot more flexible and adaptable. You know, I think people got a lot more comfortable with technology and we're seeing, because, you know, back then it was you had to be, it's, you know, because we were forced into it. But now looking at the fruit of what came from that, of, I think there's more creative ideas that are able to happen because it forced us to do things differently.
Yeah.
And whenever stuff like that happens, you know, if we embrace it, like, really cool things can happen. So, you know, doing you know, the coronavirus conversations, like, from that, you know, we've been able to have more of those types of, like, we're now looking for opportunities to bring people together and have conversations like that. You know, and I think there's some events that happened post 2020 that, I don't know, maybe they would have happened anyway, but it feels like we did so many creative things that year. Everyone was exhausted, but, like, it made us realize, like, hey, journalism isn't always just writing words on a page for people to read. Like, sometimes it is doing you know, like, getting in a barbershop and recording a video and asking really good questions and reporting about what happened. You know, what happens when we put everyone in a room and we ask good questions? And That's to me what makes working here really fun. So, Grace, any other highlights from 2020 that we've missed?
I don't think so. I think we covered what we were doing here at The Source pretty well.
Yeah. I think that wraps our summary of 2020 then. Thank you all for listening. And of course, thank you for supporting The Source. We wouldn't exist without you. Grace, where can people find you? How can they contact you?
our emails should be online, even on the ads team, but my email is grace@richlandsource.com. You can also find me on Facebook, Grace McCormick. I probably have mutual friends, but for most of our listeners, so I should be easy to find. Audrey, what about you?
Yeah, my email is audrey@sourcebrandsolutions or audrey@richlandsource, basically any of the domains, first name, at any of the domains, it'll come to me. I am on LinkedIn. I am not on Twitter, so don't try to find me there because you won't find anything. But LinkedIn, Facebook, all those, the usual places. So would love to talk to anyone if interested, you know, especially in marketing and advertising particularly. But if you have story ideas, that's all you, Grace. So we are supposed to end the episode by answering what your favorite source memory is. So Grace, what is your favorite source memory since you've been here in the last year?
So one of my favorite memories from the source was actually before I even accepted this job, because I had reached out to Katie Ellington Sorrow, who I just saw on the website after I interviewed with Larry and Brittany. And I just wanted to ask her what it's like from the reporter's side working here. And so we were texting back and forth what the office environment is like, what Richland County is like. Mm-hmm. And she said, let me see if my old apartment is available. So before I even accepted this job, I had Katie Ellington Sorrow like contacting her old landlord for me. And I did end up going apartment hunting, but I am living in her old apartment. So before I even met any of these people face to face, I
got you.
Yeah.
We're going to make sure you have a place to put your head.
I knew that I was joining good people when that happened.
That's awesome. I love Katie. She's the one who also, you know, schedules our ladies' lunches.
Yes.
And yeah, she's definitely a very useful, great friend to have for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Audrey, what was your favorite memory?
Man, this is hard. One, because I have a terrible memory. I have two small children at home. So like remembering yesterday is difficult for me sometimes. So I wouldn't say that there's necessarily one that stands out, because what I love about my job is the fact that I get to sit across from businesses that some I've never heard of before. Like when they contact us and it's like, wait, what? Like you've been here for 20 years and you do what? Like, I mean, I feel like I'm constantly having those experiences of just being amazed by like what people are doing in our communities is really cool. So there's not necessarily one, like I can't think of like one moment that stands out from that standpoint, but kind of like you, I think my favorite source memory is more to do with the culture here. So in 2020, you know, when we started this conversation, I mentioned I had my first kid. And so it was the weekend, everything shut down. I was, without going into too much detail that no one really cares about, the pertinent details is I was doing a home birth with my first, and we were literally in the middle of labor. Things had kind of stalled out, which isn't uncommon, like, in, you know, especially in your first child. And so we were talking about, like, okay, like, let's eat some dinner. Let's, you know, and just we're waiting for a baby to come, right? And there's this knock on the door, and we're like, who's not, like, who the heck is knocking on our door, right? So my husband opens the door, and there's this Donato's delivery guy, like on our front porch with his mask on and everything. And aww, he's like, here's your pizza. And we're like, we didn't order a pizza. And what it was because everyone was, you know, going above and beyond to try to cover this thing that like no one knows what's happening. The leadership team was like, hey, we're sending everyone a large pizza for dinner on Friday night. I was on maternity leave. Like I wasn't even like,
yeah, you didn't know what day it was.
Yeah. I had no clue what was going on. And like all of a sudden, here's this pizza delivered at just the right time when we're trying to figure out what to eat. And I remember messaging my boss, and I'm like, thanks for the pizza. I can't believe you included me. Like, I'm not even, you know, I'm not doing anything right now, like work-wise, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, yeah, but you're part of the Source family. Like, you're doing your own work. And, you know, it's just things like that, that, again, it just makes me go, this is something special. Like what we've been doing for the last 10 years, the people that have come and gone and, you know, the ones that are still here, like, it's a special place to work. And I remember they actually sent us pizzas every Friday for like a month or like 6 weeks. It was kind of nice, especially when you had a newborn at home and you're trying to figure out what direction is up in our own way. Like, that to me was a pretty cool moment of working here and just seeing our team rally around and just come around each other to support each other in a really hard time, I think is cool. And that will always stand out to me just because of the craziness that was that weekend. I will never forget that Donato's guy just being like, here's your pizza. And we're like, we don't know where you came from, but thank you. So, yeah.
Cool.
That's my favorite source memory.
I wish we still got pizzas delivered. That'd be nice.
And we've dropped the hint. Jay should listen to this episode, and then maybe we'll get pizza on a Friday night.
Make sure to tune in tomorrow as we continue to hear from the team on some of the biggest stories throughout our 10 years. Before we continue, a quick message from our friend and sponsors at the Richland School of Academic Arts. The Richland School of Academic Arts is committed to providing the best academic core curriculum blended with meaningful integration of the visual and performing arts to build educated, confident students to be future community leaders. Enrollment for 2023 to 2024 is now live. To learn more, visit the Richland School of Academic Arts.us. Next, want to stay up to date on all local sports? Sign up for our sports newsletter today. Just click the link in our show notes to subscribe.
Hi, everyone. I'm Kurt Conrad. I've been the local sports reporter here at Richland Source since 2013 and have been covering high school sports in North Central Ohio since 1996. Subscribe to my weekly sports newsletter for the latest stories and insights from me and the rest of the Richland Source sports team, delivered directly to your email inbox each week. Check the link in the show notes to subscribe or go to richlandsource.com/sports.
Finally, we'd like to take a moment to remember the life of Larry Lamb. Larry was born in Mansfield in 1942. He was a U.S. Army veteran, retiring after 22 years of service to his country. He also retired from Stone Container with 40 years of service. Larry was hardworking, friendly, and a reliable member of the Church of God on Trimble Road. Larry enjoyed doing small engine repair, working on and restoring classic cars. He was an avid camper and enjoyed watching dirt track racing. Known affectionately as the Cookie Monster, Larry never met a cookie he didn't love. Larry will be greatly missed by all who had the gift of his presence in their lives. He is survived by his wife Barbara of nearly 57 years, 4 children, 11 grandchildren, 14 great-grandchildren, 2 great-great-grandchildren, 7 siblings, and many nieces and nephews. Thank you for taking a moment to celebrate and remember Larry's life and service to his nation. You can submit an obituary for free on Richland Source. To learn more, click the link in our show notes or visit richlandsource.com/obituaries/submit. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow. Also, make sure to head over to richlandsource.com and click the Be a Member button to help support independent local journalism that informs and inspires. Every contribution goes to helping us make Richland County a better place and to help keep our journalism free. Also, if you like this podcast and want to hear more, make sure to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.